Welcome to week 34, the football full disclosure. I've got to start with this. On the slot, la 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 la. Jurgen Klopp, la 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 la. Sorry, I was banging on. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel good.
You feel good?
I feel very good. Of course I do.
Of course,
I mean, we know it's been
good.
Coming for a while.
I did
think we'd have it wrapped up by Spurs, and you know, we did get it wrapped up by Spurs, and we did it in pretty emphatic fashion in the end. Start bit of a shaky start.
It was shaky, but after that, it was clear and obvious. Spurs were not going to ruin the party, were they?
No, absolutely not. As soon as we got back in the game, I think there was only one team that were going to get the result. And you know, it's nice that a lot of different players got on the score sheet as well.
Salah
got on there. Well,
he got his goal. He was definitely looking to get that goal, wasn't he? He really wanted that goal. I think at some point Gakpo had a very, very, very open chance and he decides to square it to Salah, who, you know, obviously doesn't reach him. First, I want to talk about the fact that it's number 20. It means a lot. Does it mean more? Does this one mean more, being in front of an Anfield crowd? Obviously, the last time we won the Premier League was season 19-20. In front of an empty stadium. Why does this one mean more?
Well, it means more because the fans were there. Yeah. Because the players get to feel how the fans feel about it. It was sad watching it.
It was.
Watching them lift the trophy. I mean, they tried really hard.
I was emotional when I watched that.
But it was mixed emotions. Because I'm really happy because we've won it. But at the same time, I'm really sad because there's nobody there to enjoy it with the players.
I mean,
man.
There were loads of people outside the time. But
look, everybody's you know, watching along and probably jumping around their living rooms or wherever it is they're watching it. But you want that raw. And you
Absolutely.
Can see it after the game. Just how much it meant to everybody.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
People stuck around, you know, everyone's singing, you know, the players are getting involved with all the crowd as well.
Exactly.
And it was great. It was great scenes.
And we have the bus, the open top bus scheduled for the 26th. Mm. You'd be watching that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's number 20. I think this brings us level with United. So yeah, I think categorically, statistically, we are the most successful side in English football.
Yeah, I mean, even Gary Neville said it, and that must have been tough for him
to
come out and
Gary Neville.
We are the most successful club now, because Premier Leagues matter. I say Premier League, let's say top division titles matter.
Yeah.
Because, of course, technically, we've only had two Premier Leagues, and Man United supporters will keep going on about
They've
this.
They've got You've 13 only... or so, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
but at
yeah.
the end of the day,
we're talking
it's
league
about,
titles.
Yeah, it's about league titles,
that's
exactly.
It,
top
that's
division
it.
League titles. And, joint 20, so... Okay, but we have more European Cups. So there we go.
Yeah, there we go. Here's another statistic for you. Fifth manager to win it in the first time. The first time we've gone, the other managers were Mourinho, Ancelotti, Conte and Pellegrini. And now, obviously, Arne Slot has won it in his first season. I want to go back to something we spoke about last season. Does this make him a contender for manager of the season?
You mean in the last episode?
Yes.
We weren't talking about it last season.
Sorry. The last episode.
The last episode, we did. Yeah, I mean, but we already knew he was going to be winning it.
So we knew. Yeah.
It still depends on what happens with the other managers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We did look into the criteria.
We did indeed. That's a good point. And I can't remember right now, but we'll probably get onto that. He wins it with 4 games to spare. It's not the best. I think the best team, the team that's won it with, in the fewest amount of games, it's Liverpool, 7 games, 19-20 season. But, 4 games to spare, he's winning it before May. This is huge. It feels like a procession, obviously. I know that's the term everyone's been throwing around. But, here's a great statistic. We've been at the top of the league for 234 days, 93 days more than any other side. Arsenal have never been on top. So that's, it's not just a procession, it's a domination.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't get the naysaying when it comes to, like, nobody likes it when Liverpool win things.
I know.
It's like, they haven't really won it properly because,
asterisks.
The last one, we didn't win it properly because of COVID. This one, everybody else has been crocked with injuries and that's the only reason we've won it. It's nonsense.
Let's not forget the referees.
And the referees have been in our favour. Of course they have, yeah. So, look. We've been great this season. We've been consistent, and that's it. The reality is we've been the most consistent team this year.
Mm.
We could still finish in the very late 80s. Well, What are we on now? 80?
We're on 82 points. 82. We can finish on 94 if we carry on.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
Have 12, yeah,
so,
12 more points to play for.
I mean, that's an incredible points haul.
It's a brilliant points haul.
Even you get to the late 80s, it's very, very good.
It's a respectable amount. I mean, let's not forget, I think Leicester won it on 82 points or something of that nature. So I think you have to give Arne Slot and that Liverpool side their flowers. They deserve it. You know, right down from Alisson, right at the back, all the way up front to Darwin Nunez, who, you know, we have mixed feelings about him, obviously, but everyone in that squad has put in a shift the entire season. You know, we think of people like Joe Gomez, who hasn't played very much this season, but, you know, he's chipped in here and there. I know Chiesa, who's what, he's played 4 games. He needs one more to be, you know, to get that medal. But, you know, he's had his moments. He's come on. Right? And also, apparently, he's huge behind in the dressing room and everything. So everyone in that team has done an outstanding job this season, and they deserve their flowers.
When they've been asked to step up, they step up and they do what needs to be done.
Absolutely.
I mean, we talk about Darwin Nunez as an example, but he has had a couple of important goals.
Brentford.
Absolutely. And this is it. So when the players have been asked to come on, and they haven't been asked to come on all that much because Slot hasn't rotated as much as I think a lot of people would have liked.
Yes.
He's very much stuck to his guns with his team selections.
Yes.
But when people have been asked to come on, we talk about Endo as well, a player who has not had a lot of game time, but when asked to come on, he has a job to do, and he does it.
He does.
The true professional comes on.
That's it.
Right, we need to stop this game. We need to see this one out.
Close shop.
Yeah, just get stuck in.
Absolutely.
Break up the play. Don't let them do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And he does that, and that's great, and that's what you need. Next year, I think it will be different. Apparently, we've got to have a fair bit of money to spend in the summer to try and go for 21, try and keep the good times going. So there will be a lot more signings, and I would hope there will be a lot more depth that Arne Slot is confident in, and therefore more rotation, and therefore less tired legs towards the end of the season, because
exactly.
You could certainly see
we
were getting tired.
That's it. Pundits at the start of the season, I think all the BBC pundits, none of them had us as winning the league. I think all the Sky Sports pundits, none of them had us winning the league. Do you think that's changed for next season? Do you think now that the rhetoric of, they've made a whole load of, they were looking like we're going to make a whole load of changes, wholesale changes. Do you think that might work in our favour or against us for next season?
Oh, I think people will be putting us as title contenders 100% regardless. But certainly after our summer business, depending on how that goes,
how
obviously.
How that goes, of course.
But if we are going to spend what people think we're going to spend, and it is going to be a lot, we're pretty good when it comes to making signings, aren't we? Well,
I think
one
we
thing
are.
That we are very good at.
Very good.
So I think people would have us, I think there'll be a lot of people next season looking at us as favourites.
I said this about 3 episodes earlier or 2 episodes earlier. I firmly would have us as favourites. I think we go on to make it 21. I think the position we're in right now, I think we're in a massive, 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 much stronger position than Arsenal, for example. I'm sorry, Arsenal supporters. I still think Mikel Arteta isn't the one. I think we're in a much stronger position than your Newcastles. I don't think teams like Newcastle, Aston Villa, Chelsea, Nottingham Forest have it in them to go an entire season campaign to challenge for the league. I don't think so. I think our biggest competitor next season will be City.
What does City need to do to get back to their best then?
Avoid prison.
Well, yeah. Avoid relegation.
Avoid relegation. Charges. Avoid
let's
charges.
Say, let's
yeah.
say, for the sake of, you know, Man City still being around and, you know, not having points deductions or whatever. They're just a normal season. Let's say they don't get found guilty of any of these whenever this is going to happen anyway. What do they need to do to be competitive again? I mean, because the drop off this season was crazy.
I think energy. I think it's been energy for them. I think I spoke a little bit about creativity points, and they've lost a lot of potential creativity points with not having De Bruyne, me, who's had an uncharacteristic poor season. It's not his fault. I think injuries have been an issue for him, but they've missed out an awful lot on creativity points. Grealish is, where's Grealish been this entire season? Haaland, who's what? He's on 21 goals, and that's
a bad season.
A bad
for
season for him, isn't it? It's insane. I think Pep is, what's the word I'm looking for? Pep is a maniac. I think, when it comes to football. And he will know exactly what needs to be done. He will know what changes needs to be made in that City side. Like, I can see next season being a City, Liverpool, you know, fight for the league. Arsenal, so I'm sorry, once again, Mikel Arteta is not the one. My friend, they hate when I say that. That's why I keep saying it. That's not the only reason why I say it. But I think he's a second place manager. So there we go. I've come out.
Who do you bring in? Who else can you bring
in? And that's the problem. Who do you bring in?
I can't think of any. Well, that being said, I would never in a million years had thought of Slot as a potential replacement for Klopp. So, I'm sure there are some really, really good managers out there.
Yeah.
But I, off the top of my head, couldn't think of any that would, you know,
fill in for Arsenal right now. Well, that's an Arsenal problem to think about. But okay, here are some other statistics. This one really surprised me. Double Dutch. First Dutch manager to win the league. That surprised me, weirdly. And the first Dutch captain to win the league. I didn't expect that as a statistic. And I thought, oh, wait, who have the Dutch captains been in the league in the past? You know, have they been really... Bergkamp wasn't captain, was he, for Arsenal side? So no. Jaap Stam, was he ever captain United? It's a big figure, but not captain.
Van Persie, I don't think he...
Van Persie wasn't really... Yeah. No, he wasn't captain. So that was a surprise statistic as well. Yeah, and it's flowers for Van Dijk. You know, he is a Liverpool Premier League winning captain. And that's a top statistic. You know, at the end of the day, Steven Gerrard never won the Premier League. Mm. You know, Sami Hupier, he was a captain for a while. He never won the Premier League. And, you know, these are great captains in the Premier League, but never won the Premier League. So I think, you know, we have to give it to your Van Dijks. He's done a great job. Looked imperial. That's a great word to use. There we go.
Yeah, and to be honest, Henderson before him, I thought Henderson was a great captain.
Yeah, fantastic.
And in fact, everybody who played with him, even people who played against him, said how good a captain he was. So, yeah.
Yeah, got to give it to those boys. I think the last time we had a captain and a manager win the league at the same time, do you know? Being from the same nation. Same nationality.
We?
Not us, no. The last time it's happened?
No, not off the top of my head.
Wenger and... Vieira.
Yeah.
There we go.
It would be.
Yeah, it would be. There's a lot of firsts, weren't there? It was the first and only Egyptian to ever win the Premier League in Mo Salah, who had, sorry Spurs, but he had time for a photo opportunity at 4-1. I think that's criminal. I don't know. Taking selfies before, is that a lack of respect or is that just letting the emotions get ahead of you?
Yeah, he's just getting into it, isn't he? That, I mean, lucky fan, whoever...
I've not seen the picture, actually, online. I've seen it. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm floating around already. It wasn't going to take long, was it?
Okay. I'm not funny enough, but is that lack of respect or is that... I mean... Just getting lost in the moment. It was... he's also, Mo Salah's moved ahead of Sergio Aguero in the statistics. He's now, I think, in sixth place in the Premier League top goal scorer. That's, I mean, God, we can speak... for an entire episode about Salah, can't we?
Yeah, it would be easy. And I think he's got two more seasons to keep going.
To keep going.
I mean, nobody's ever taken that title, I don't think, of like the most Premier League goals. That's going to be a difficult one.
No. No, he's not. No one's getting Alan Shearer's record. Obviously not. But I would like him to move as close as possible.
I think he can go up a couple more places.
I think so. I think he can beat maybe Rooney's record and almost definitely Andrew Cole. I think he's the one that he's got in his sights next. We've got the first Hungarian in Szoboszlai to win the Premier League. That's, you know, another to say. The first Greek. Never have thought that. Tsimikas, the first Greek to win the Premier League. So there's a lot of firsts. A lot of firsts flying around. And this is why it means more. But let's not forget there were other games in the league.
Yes, there was other football games.
There were other football games. I'm sorry, we've just been, full disclosure, we are Liverpool supporters. I'm sorry, so... It was bound to happen. We were going to bang on a little bit about our teams. But there were other teams that played. Chelsea, Everton, doing what they can to secure that top four position. They're currently in fifth place. You know, it was a 1-0 hard-fought win against Everton. Everton, who's been okay.
They've been better.
Yeah, they've been
since
a lot
Moyes
better. But Chelsea, they've looked a bit just... lackluster.
Yeah, yeah, they haven't been great for a while. Jackson got the goal. Yeah, who, another player back, who, yeah, kind of was doing really, really well and then just disappeared.
Injury.
Yeah, picked up an injury, yeah, then just disappeared for a while. And it's obviously just kind of getting back into it, it looks like now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, keep kind of keep trying to grind them out.
I think they are. They're grinding them out. But I think that top four battle, you know, from third place to fifth place, it's heating up because the teams around are picking up points. Newcastle, you know, home to Ipswich. It was a very, very comfortable win, a 3-0 win at St. James's Park for Newcastle. Again, they will be very much looking at, you know, that top four position, but it's not set in stone, is it?
No, I think third and fourth, I mean, it could be anybody's, couldn't it?
Could be.
I mean, Forest have dropped down to sixth, but they have a game in hand. They've so they win that game in hand, they're back in third again.
Yeah, they face.
So there could be a lot of
up and down, going on. Yeah, Nottingham Forest, obviously. Yeah, they've got Brentford, and that's not going to be an easy game. No. I didn't fully watch the game, but I saw parts of it. I want to talk about Bournemouth United. There was a controversial sending off. Evan Nilsson, it was a slip, and he's gone to the VAR, and they've sent him off, I think. Did you see it by any chance?
Didn't see it.
Of course not, because there were more important things happening. The winning of the league. But again, this is VAR. VAR in clear motion. Is it doing the right thing? I think there've been some slight improvements in the automated offside. I think that's good for football. It's just like the goal line technology. It's clear. It's automatic. There's no discussion about it anymore. But, oh God almighty, the red cards for things like, you know, the fouls, the handballs, penalties, things like that. They need to clear that up.
They do need to clear that up. I agree with you that the offsides was for me, one of the main things that I thought VAR was going to be good for.
Mm.
Now they've got the semi-automated. That's far, far better, far quicker,
well, because
far
they were
clearer.
Drawing lines before.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you've got people saying, oh, these lines aren't. Right, so now, yeah, take that away. In fact, just take the human element away. I think you're better
just
off.
Leave it to AI.
Yeah, in this instance, I think you might be better
just
off.
Forget about a ref.
I do think that, no, you keep the ref on there. But I mean, and obviously the linesman's as well.
Yeah.
But I think they need to get it sorted out when it comes to some of these decisions because it's very inconsistent.
Handballs.
Yeah, no, yeah. What constitutes a foul?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, shoulder to shoulder. Mm. Is it a push? Is it not a push? Is he holding on? Is he not? I mean, they need to be very clear on this. And I think everybody needs to be singing from the same hymn sheet because that it's inconsistent from game to game. And that's why people are getting frustrated with it.
I think
because
so.
In one game, here's a tackle and somebody's been sent off. And then in another game, an almost identical tackle, and they haven't been.
Nothing.
Exactly. And it can't be like that. It has to be like, you know, this is the punishment for this.
This is it. Absolutely.
This is a dangerous tackle.
Yeah.
That means that is a dangerous tackle. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it is.
The Evan Nilsson tackle, if you do see it, it was a slip and he slipped into the tackle and he's obviously caught the player with the studs.
Was it intentional?
No.
Well, then that's not that's then dangerous issue. Play, then, is it? And therefore, he shouldn't be sent off for it.
Here we go. It's
But if you go by the letter of the law, that is a letter of the law, isn't it? If you're not intentionally trying to be dangerous.
But it's still dangerous play. The way they will see it, it's still dangerous play. And their argument possibly is that he's gone into a tackle and he's not he's not in full control of his. I don't know what it is, but that's the problem. It's too open to interpretation. And we have this situation where some referees are interpreting one way and other referees, but there's a rule book, isn't there? I think that's it. There is a rule book and follow the rule book to the letter of the law. And there we go. I think anyway, VAR, where do you stand on that? Are you a fan?
I think it's...
Do you like it?
I think fairness is important when it comes to football. So for the offsides and things like that,
yeah,
absolutely. And I was always like, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
But I just found that before semi-automated, I mean, it's better. I mean, it's still... Can be better.
It has to be quick,
but it's like,
you.
Yeah, it just needs to be quicker. I mean, and I think it will get quicker. But ultimately, I always thought, oh, it's nice that, you know, you'll know one way or the other whether someone was offside. Because, you know, it's heartbreaking when you get a goal given against you
and
you've been knocked out of a cup or something like that. And you later see it and then
it was,
know,
yeah, yeah, I know.
It was offside or something.
And it's glad that we're moving away from that. I mean, think of the you know, that brings back to Mane scoring a late winner against Everton, and that looked like it was clearly onside, but they've blown offside. Games like that would have changed situations. Or Luis Diaz against Spurs a couple of seasons back, you know, it's clear onside, and they made that huge fundamental error that wins and that loses titles, for example, and they made that error. And so for me, I love the fact that it's semi-automated. It's right there. Of course, it will hurt when, you know, you score amazing goals and it's, you know, it's a toenail. That's the difference between a goal and not a goal.
Yeah,
and
I think they need to revise the offside rule. Like, for me, because I would have always just gone grounded foot. Like, by enough. And like, so you're not going by a toe now, but like, just do it by your grounded foot. Whatever grounded foot is further forward, you know, if it determines whether you're onside or offside.
The current rule is the armpits
and stuff like that for me.
Rule is if you can score from that part, though, if you can score with the
can
part.
Can you score from your armpit?
You can.
I guess you could.
You can.
You don't see it very often.
Can you score with your shoulder? Yeah, you can. Can you score with your, I don't know, with your tummy? You can, I think.
Yeah, but I mean,
they have to take that into account.
No, I get that's how they do it, but I mean, for me, I would have just done the grounded foot. It'd be far easier to figure out.
Yeah,
just like, oh, look, let's have a look. Okay, yeah, it is what it is.
Benefit of the doubt to the strikers.
Yeah, exactly. Give the benefit of the doubt to the attacking players because we want to see more goals anyway. I mean, obviously, you're on the wrong side of that, you're probably not going to think that. But ultimately, when you are on the right side of it, you'll be very happy.
Yeah.
So
sort out VAR.
I would just sort out the rules a little bit.
Sort out the offside rule, maybe
do give a little bit more benefit to the attacking player. So we see a few more goals and, yeah, just be a bit clearer on what constitutes fouls. And I mean, it's good for things like handballs in the box if you're scoring.
That needs to be clear.
You know, I think, but it's good to have it there for those reasons, right? So that if something happens in the box and there is a goal, it can be reviewed. Yeah. Of course, the ball to hand thing, how far away were they? Could they move their hand? Was it in a natural position? All these different things. It's tricky, but yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it's a good thing to have it. It was just annoying because it was taking so long and it wasn't clear to people in the stadiums. It wasn't clear what was going on if you're watching it on TV.
And the good point is they are now addressing, I think, from next season, referees will now be addressing the stadium to explain the rationale behind the decisions taken. So let's hope these things are moving football in the right way and, you know, in the progressive position. I think in a couple of seasons' time, I want to talk about Wrexham.
Yeah, they're probably going to be playing in the Prem, aren't they?
They're probably playing in the Prem.
Well, they just got promoted to the Championship.
It's a different kettle of fish, Championship. I think they will find it tough.
I think it's a big step up.
I think from
League One to the Championship, it's going to be more tricky for them, but they do have money. They have apparently made a fair bit of profit over the years.
They've
still got their TV show going on, haven't they?
Oh, they do? Okay.
And they'll keep doing it.
Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, I've watched it, yeah.
Is it any good?
It has its moments.
We're not advertising it, by the way.
No, we're not advertising it. But I mean,
like a review of
it. It has its moments. Okay. I mean, there's parts of it that I think are, you know, it's nice to see football shows just about football, I think.
I like that. Yeah.
But they obviously try and throw the personal touch in there and sad stories and all those kind of things.
What? Living in Wrexham? No disrespect to anyone from Wrexham. But.
No, they just talk about various different fans and stuff like that and follow people's stories. The people that are from Wrexham and follow the club and stuff like that and their problems behind the scenes.
I'm sure
and that
it's
kind
not
of
sad
stuff.
Living in Wrexham, I'm sure.
No, but some people have, you know, sometimes life can be a bit sad and you have things that are, you know, not going well for you and they highlight these things. Anyway,
let's not get cancelled.
By the by. But yeah, I mean, they're still going to be doing that and having the income from that. They get sponsorship deals because they're on TV.
They do
as
they've
well.
Got Hollywood
stars. I mean, it's a model that seems to be working.
Yeah.
And they'll have money to invest.
So what you're telling me is
Jamie Vardy, maybe.
Oh,
yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. That's the kind of stuff they would probably go for Vardy.
I like that
because he's leaving Leicester.
He's leaving, isn't he?
Yeah.
They're coming up and
they'll throw money at it and he'll be like, oh, new challenge. Yeah, let's get him in the Prem.
That is a guy that would rip up the Championship just because of the style of play that he's. You know, he's a. I was about to use a word to describe him, but he's a Hauser. He's a, you know what I'm trying to say. But yeah, he'll do very well in a team like that, I think.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if you see a signing like that. They'll look to bring in the kind of marquee signing to cement their...
They'll need players, so obviously that can possibly maybe on the cusp of, you know, Premier League, Championship.
They'll be bringing in ex-Premier League players.
Yeah, almost definitely.
People who've already, and that's how they've got where they are.
I think so,
They've been bringing in people that are established in the leagues well above where they are. So they know they can at least get to there. And they've only got one more step to make.
So many.
So they bring in Premier League players League players. You've played in the Premier League. I know you can get us back up there again.
So many players.
We may not be able to compete in the Premier League anymore, but it doesn't matter. You just need to get us there.
Yeah, there's so many guys. Dele Alli would be great to see back in the playing capacity, obviously, but he's at Como. It's an interesting one that you don't actually need a huge nation state to back you as a club. You can actually
just
do it.
Just to have two Hollywood
stars, that sometimes can...
And this will continue, by the way. There will be more Hollywood stars that are thinking of getting involved. When they look to this, they'll be like, yeah, we can do that.
Luka Modric has established himself with Swansea. I mean, he's not quite the Hollywood star, but he has, things like sponsorship, experience, backing.
Footballers have been getting involved in football teams for a long time, haven't they?
Ex-major football players, at the top of their game. Beckham, obviously, in the USA.
He's in the US. He's doing his thing over there.
Messi's
involved. You've got Scholes and all the 92. They own Salisbury, don't they?
Salisbury, right. Yeah, something like that. Somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So they have a team in the lower divisions as well. So, I mean, it's quite commonplace, I think, for footballers to get involved in football clubs. Who would have thought it?
Would you do that if you had the money? If you had an extra, $2 million, I'll just
buy a football club.
Buy a football club.
And why not?
Seems fun.
Yeah, it seems like fun.
But you can't manage it. That's the problem. You wouldn't be able to manage it. You own it. You get the right managers in, but you wouldn't be able to get in there and say, hey, you should pick this side.
It'd still be fun though, wouldn't it?
It would still be fun.
Yeah, it'd still be fun.
If you've got a couple of million to spare.
Yeah, when I have, we'll cross that bridge.
We can do that together next time. Anyway, Marty, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
It feels great. I'm just going to close off by saying, honest lot, la, 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 la.
Let's cheers our Ribenas.
Our Ribenas.
Cheers.
Ching. Thank you very much for listening. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.